Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Upgraded the wiper blades that last two times longer than any other blades. Michelin Endurance XT Silicone wiper blades last two times longer than other blades. Brian Westbrook played for a decade in the NFL, a multiple-time Pro Bowler. He was just talking to him during the break. He went to Wharton, Villanova and Wharton. So he's officially the smartest guy in this current conversation coming up. Brian Westbrook is now joining us live. Wharton. Who gets Wharton on their resume? God, guy, you Wharton guys, Lord.
He's just trying to make it work out here in this real world that we live in at this point. Retirement is not always the easy place to try to find a job, so trying to figure life out.
Well, congrats. It's incredible. So during the break, we were saying, and you have a business background, I believe in structures, so I tend to look at the NFL. What's your structure like and who's your quarterback? And that's how I pick my division winners. Philadelphia, I like their owner, I like their GM, I like their coach, and I like Wentz. But you know that city well. Villanova kid, you played for the Eagles. I wonder, you look this morning, some think Wentz too many injuries, lost the right coaches, he's lost his confidence. Weigh in on Philadelphia. We're really, really early, and I'm hearing some Baylor's on the Eagles right now. Where do you stand on them this morning?
Well, I saw an offensive team last week that put up 29 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I saw a team that doesn't have DeSean Jackson, doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey, doesn't have Dallas Goedert, doesn't have their first-round pick Jalen Reagor. And really, the only receiver that they had was a practice squad guy that they cut a couple times, got cut by different teams, and Travis Fulgham. And they were able to put up 29 points on a very good defense of the Steelers at Heinz Field. So I think, you know, this football team has a ways to go. They don't have a bunch of talent. They're not as talented at the skill position like the Dallas Cowboys. But what I am seeing is a quarterback that struggled early on in the season with interceptions, bad reads, bad decisions, just errant throws. And over the last couple of weeks, and I'll probably say the last six quarters, I think Carson is starting to figure it out. He's using his legs a little bit more. You saw that in the 49ers game. He's able to get the ball in the right position. We saw that last week against the Steelers. I feel like he's starting to figure it out, and he struggled again. He struggled mightily at the very beginning of the season, but I think he's coming out of that just a bit. And once you get some more talent around him, once you get any of those guys that I named before back, I think it's going to give Carson an opportunity to exploit some holes and some defenses. Right now, they're just so ravaged by injury and those types of things. It's just hard to see how good of a team they really are because of the injuries.
You know, I was saying in the break, Brian, that I watched the Giants and the Cowboys play this weekend, and I saw two rebuilding teams. We just all know the Giants are rebuilding. One had a good defense, one had a great offense. And I look at Dallas, and my theory behind rebuilding is if you go into a draft and at least half the units on your team need a playmaker, then you're rebuilding. I don't care. I don't care if you acknowledge it. We know teams that aren't. Baltimore's not rebuilding. We know Kansas City, Green Bay, they're not. And we know New York is. But I look at Dallas. Offensive line's old. Defensive line's old. Linebackers are, to be honest, a little overpaid and overrated at this moment. They need a safety. They need another corner. They're tight end. They're not special. Outside of receiver and back, I got questions everywhere. Is it possible? I looked at the Giants in Dallas, Brian. They look like rebuilding teams to me. Am I wrong?
Well, you have to ask yourself this. Will Jerry Jones ever allow his team to be in a total rebuild? Would he ever allow his football team to say, you know what, we're tearing everything down. We're going to be irrelevant for a couple years, and then we're going to come back stronger. I just don't see that happening. I think Jerry says we have three good wide receivers. We all know what they can do. We know what Zeke can do. We'll be serviceable at the quarterback position with Andy Dalton. Now, if we can find a way to get our defense not to be terrible. And what we've seen from their defense all season long is them getting dominated at the line of scrimmage, them showing a lack of urgency, a lack of toughness. They're just being lazy so many times on the defensive side of the ball. They're getting beat down the field. I mean, they have a bunch of holes on the defensive side of the ball, and they paid a lot of guys over there, a lot of different, a lot of money as well. And so they shouldn't be at that bad. They shouldn't be rebuilding on the defensive side of the ball. But just as you mentioned, they have a lot of holes. They have to fill those holes. So I don't necessarily think that Dallas is in a total rebuild. I just think they have to sharpen their tools on the defensive side of the ball. It starts with effort. If they can show a little bit more effort, which I think they did this last week, I think they can win some games. But they're a long way from being one of the better teams in the NFC.
Brian Westbrook, 9 years, two-time Pro Bowler. You know, I said this last night. There's four old quarterbacks in the league. Two of them don't look like they can really take me to the place I want to be, Rivers and Breeze. Two of them, Big Ben, Brady, can, but they're not as special as some of these young guys. So, you know, as you start looking around this league at quarterback, and Josh Allen is really good, really fast, and Lamar is really good, really fast, and oh my God, Joe Burrow's really good, and Justin Herbert's really good. And then you get a bunch of guys like Matt Ryan, and I'm like, Jimmy Garoppolo. So let's start with Garoppolo. This weekend, a mess. Was it injuries or just Jimmy G struggling? What did you see?
Well, I saw a quarterback that was struggling. I would initially think it was because of the injuries. He didn't seem like he could step into any throws. He didn't seem confident. I don't know how much practice time he got in the past week. He just didn't look confident in any of his throws. He didn't know how to pull the trigger and let the ball go. And then when he did step into it, a lot of his throws were sailing all over the place, and that's why he ends up getting pulled. When you're losing the amount of games that the 49ers have lost this year, and you're supposed to be a good team, sometimes when you're injured, you kind of force yourself to get back in there when you're really not ready to play. And I don't think Jimmy G was ready to play this past weekend, and that's why Kyle pulled him out of the game. He'll come back, but again, Jimmy G wasn't special last year. He had a great defense, and he had an offense that knew how to run the ball. And when you have the ability to run the ball on anybody, you can get some play-action passes going, and then the throws that you're making are to wide-open wide receivers and tight ends. And, of course, we know what George Kittle can do with yards after the catch. So when you're talking about an average quarterback to start, then you add injury to that. Without that dominant defense, you're seeing what you're seeing for the San Francisco 49ers. And it's not a very good sight.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, it's funny, is that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, especially Herbert, is so good quickly, and Joe Burrow is so competent quickly, it makes me think if you're Miami, you put Tua in 3 weeks, and you give him 8-9 games, and he's just okay. Do you revisit quarterback in the NFL? Are you going to have Justin Fields? I mean, it's funny, Brian, but Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are, boom, they can play, period. And I got three world-class, and the Dolphins, by the way, going to have Houston's first-round pick next year. They got two of their own picks, or they got one of their own and Houston. So they're going to have two top 10 picks potentially. What if Tua comes out? Is it ever happened that your rivals, the culture changes? There's so many special young guys. What if Tua comes in and plays 8 games and looks meh? Do you go get another guy?
I don't want to make Joy get her too upset here. It's talking about her Dolphins, but I think the answer is no. You got to give Tua an opportunity to get used to the league, and they've struggled a little bit with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but of course, when he struggles, he comes back even stronger and throws the ball. You have to give Tua an opportunity. You picked him, you draft him way too high to be able to say, you know, he struggled at the end of the year, and now we're not going to go with him. Now we're going to move on. You've done that too many times in the past. At some point, you got to settle in and say, this is our guy, and we're going to go with him despite some early struggles. And there's not going to be a bunch of young quarterbacks that go out there and light the world up like Joe Burrow and Herbert. It doesn't happen every single year. Tua may be one of those guys. He may be one of those guys that gets better by sitting on the bench and watching and coming in his second year with all the practice reps as far as the offseason and OTAs. He's a much better quarterback. We never know. We won't really know until he gets that opportunity. But I don't give up on a quarterback after their first year. I think that would be foolish.
Yeah. Finally, Andy Dalton. Can you win a division with Andy Dalton at this point in his career?
Absolutely. You can win a division because we mentioned it earlier. You have all the weapons. The division is just bad. The NFC East is absolutely terrible. But more importantly, it's their schedule. It's the teams that they're going to play. And when you look at their schedule, you're talking about teams over 500 at this current point. They're only going to play two more of those teams. That's the Steelers and the Ravens. All the other teams that they're going to be facing, the Cowboys will be facing, are under 500. So, I mean, when you talk about what does he have to do? Well, he doesn't have to. All he has to do is not turn the ball over,
right,
hand the ball off to Zeke, make sure that the receivers touch it. And if he does that, I think that helps his defense out a little bit too. Get your running game going. Get your defense off the field. And if you can do that, that helps them win football games. And the schedule dictates that they don't have a hard road in front of them.
Yeah, no, if he's a distributor, he's the point guard that passes, not shoots. You can win a lot That's of right. games without receiving core and Zeke. Good stuff, Brian Westbrook. Love having you on, bud. Thanks again.
Thanks again. Take care, Colin.
Tristan Thompson before the end of the show talking about his buddy LeBron James smoking a cigar and feeling good about himself today. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. CarShield.com. A deductible may apply. Warranties when yours runs out. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Russell Wilson has put up MVP numbers, leading the Seahawks to a 5-0 record, but their defense is not playing at the same level. They've allowed 2,356 yards so far, which is the most in the NFL, and they're on pace to shatter the record for the most allowed in a season at their current pace of 471.2 yards a game. The Seahawks would allow 7,539 yards over 16 games. The 2012 Saints currently hold the record for most yards allowed in a season at 7,042. So, blow that record out of the water.
Well, any
if
team,
they stay on pace the way they are now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the other teams in Seattle's league as far as bad defenses, they were all bad teams. A team for the Colts years ago, Drew Brees went 7-9 with a crappy defense, and Atlanta's is bad, and they just fired everybody.
And that's what's so impressive about Russell Wilson this
They're 5-0.
72.8 completion percentage,
Sheesh.
Over 1,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, that's, 3 interceptions.
People are completing 73% of their throws.
He's just been – he is remarkable, but this season – I'm glad this is kind of happening for him this season because he deserves a league MVP. And if it continues to trend this way, I don't know how much more dramatic you can do to change up the defensive situation at this point. They're 20th in points allowed per game, last in yards allowed per game, and tied for second in total turnovers with 10. So we all see what's happening, but this is what it makes me nervous for the Seahawks moving into the playoffs, because you can rely on Russell Wilson during the regular season. You can get these wins during the regular season. But as we know, the postseason comes down to situational moments. And if your defense can't get a big stop, it doesn't matter how spectacular Russell Wilson is and what he's making happen with the receivers and tools that he has. Like, you are going to need a big defensive stop in a big moment in the playoffs.
Trading deadline 3 weeks away. Seattle. You make trades in the NFL when you really believe you can win a Super Bowl and you're missing a piece. And Seattle, I don't know what's on the market right now. Seattle needs some help on the defensive line because they're good enough. Their offensive line, they drafted an LSU guard they love and their left tackle. So their offensive line is middle of the pack. It's not as bad as we thought. But they can't win a Super Bowl with that defensive front. Now, Jamal Adams, their secondary is fine. They have a couple corners I like in Jamal Adams. Bobby Wagner, they're good at linebacker. But they, one of the real players at the trading deadline to me feels like Seattle.
It has to be, right? Why would you squander this season in the way that Russell Wilson's playing?
Kansas City, Baltimore, Green Bay, those kind of teams can win the Super Bowl. Even Pittsburgh.
Currently assembled.
Yeah,
yes.
Pittsburgh gets a break and doesn't have to go to Kansas City. They can win a Super Bowl. Most of the teams that are in the Super Bowl bubble don't have a huge gaping issue. Seattle does up front.
The play disparity is too large for Seattle. So Phillip Rivers struggled Sunday against the Browns, throwing 2 interceptions and logging his first game without a touchdown as a Colt. But Frank Reich is making it very clear they will not be making a move to Jacoby Brissett, and Rivers is the Colts quarterback going forward.
My trust at the end of the day is who he is this guy is a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I have the utmost confidence and belief in him. Our team has the utmost confidence and belief in him. And you're going to live. You got to live with some mistakes. And the good is going to far outweigh the one or two bad things that happen.
Yeah, I don't buy that. That's coach speak. You can't. First of all, you can't roll the pocket out. with Phillip Rivers. So it's just, you're a purely pocket team. He no longer has an above average arm, and he makes it. I mean, look at this throw over here. He just doesn't have, there's no sauce on it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the offensive line situation for the Chargers last year was not ideal, but I don't know. I never saw how this was going to work to begin with. I didn't think that he was the piece that's going to put them in position to win a Super Bowl in the way that you can look at the situation in Tampa Bay and say, okay, Tom Brady has enough left to take that team, which clearly had lots of pieces and lots of weapons and a good defense, but turn the ball over too much, and that's something that Tom Brady doesn't do. That could take them to the next level. I didn't see this happening with Phillip Rivers, and you've been talking about this all show. They're probably going to be in play for a free agent quarterback.
Sam Darnold.
This season.
Sam Darnold, for all he's dealt with, deserves that. Sam Darnold's dynamic. What they don't have with Brissett or Phillip is like a dynamic athlete that can make some plays on his feet, and Darnold can do that. He just has no help. Here you get help.
Phillip Rivers this season is 3-2, 70.8 completion percentage, 1,227 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So, I mean, not spectacular numbers there. Finally, the Lakers brought the Larry O'Brien Trophy back to LA for the first time in a decade.
Oh.
And fans jumped at the chance to buy their team's championship merchandise. According to Fanatics, Lakers fans shattered the previous record, which was held by Cleveland Cavaliers fans for the most merchandise sold after a title.
Wow.
They bought as much swag in the first 12 hours after winning the title as Cavs fans bought in 30 hours after winning the 2016 NBA Finals. This isn't too surprising because the Lakers have a massive, massive brand.
I know, but it's a bad
economy.
And it's
LeBron James. Yes, but I mean, the Lakers, like, Lakers fans are all over the world. The Lakers brand is an international brand. I mean, Kobe was obviously a huge part of that. And the, you know, obviously the city of Los Angeles is much bigger than the city of Cleveland.
If you're the Clippers this morning, oh my God.
Oh my God. I thought about that. I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, oh.
Brutal.
You know, I picked the Clippers, but I don't care. Like, people think we get all upset about our predictions.
We don't
like,
care.
It's predictions, okay? Okay. Life goes on. I'll be all right. I'm not like rooting against anyone. The only team I root for is the Heat. I'll be all right. But man, that's rough.
It's one thing to underachieve, and then this person that shares the building with you, your big brother, gets
Lakers
a job
fans
promotion.
Are always talking crazy to Clippers fans.
Oh.
Yeah. Great. I mean, it's got to be rough. I feel for Clippers fans. Shout out Clipper Darryl. And Marcellus, but those are the two biggest Clippers fans I know.
Yeah.
It's got to be rough.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Tristan Thompson, current Cav, friend of LeBron, his thoughts on what we saw. It was magical if you're a Laker fan. The old teams, the veteran teams underachieved. They all did, except LeBron and the Lakers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you're not ready to give up, check it out, mdriveformen.com, only supplement I use, mdriveformen.com. Tristan Thompson has played for nearly a decade in the NBA. He got to 4 straight finals with LeBron James, an NBA champ in 2016, and he joins us now live. We've had some great conversations about this. We were talking during the break about how Rondo, playoff Rondo, you don't get Rondo for the regular season, but the playoff, he's unbelievable. What impressed you overall most about the Lakers?
What impressed me most about the Lakers is just how mentally they stayed locked in during this whole process. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to the veteran players, but also LeBron. You know, he's ahead of the stake, and you know, the ship goes as far as he takes them. So for them to be locked in during this climate and really just going from hotel room, basketball court, meal room, back to the court, it's tough, especially what, you know, in the summertime for NBA players, you know, this is our offseason. This is where we go to Cancun, Cabo, and Turks and Caicos. But, you know, for these guys, they have to be locked in for a greater goal. And you can see the way they're celebrating. You know, it's all worth it at the end of the day.
You know, it's interesting. I said this. I love when an occasional Aaron Rodgers or LeBron James is not afraid to admit, hey, I'm pretty damn good. Everybody else talks trash. Why can't LeBron James or Aaron Rodgers or somebody else? And when LeBron says, put some respect on my name, what did you make of that, his speech after they won?
It's about damn time. Listen, I've been telling him for years. I said, listen, man, You the best player. You the best player ever that's played this game. You gotta start talking. I know you the nice guy, and you want to make everyone happy, but you gotta talk the talk. You walk the walk. You want to dunk on guys and block shots and all that stuff. You gotta let them know. Put some respect on your name. And that made me so happy when he said that to Rachel Nichols when she interviewed him, because it's the truth. Every time there's pressure on him, he makes something happen. And then there's another stat that comes out that he's not a part of, and he makes it happen. So he keeps. Every time we give him a challenge, he just looks at it and takes it on and makes greatness out of it. So yeah, I'm glad he said about time.
By the way, do the players talk about the GOAT conversation, MJ and LeBron?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I literally have this conversation after every game that the Lakers play, or if we're watching The Last Dance. And it's definitely in the locker room. I think a lot of guys that are playing in our game right now, current players, will say that LeBron's the best. Obviously, you know, the friends I have are all in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, so we all agree. But there's always that one friend or that one guy in the locker room that will say Jordan. And it's kind of crazy that some guys will say Jordan, because I think, you know, as athletes, we have an ego. And I feel like sometimes guys don't want to say LeBron because they might have to guard him next night, and or he probably dropped 40 on them. So hey, I think it's more their ego, and they're not being realistic with themselves.
Well, and I also think LeBron did something. LeBron decided this year, I'm going to lead the league in assists. I've always said LeBron's got a lot of Wilt in him. Wilt did that at one point in his career. He said, I'm going to lead the league in assists, and Wilt led the league in assists. Is that Wilt could have done – Wilt was a little bit of a flake. LeBron's not. Wilt and LeBron are really the only players in my life who could just decide, oh, we're forwards and centers. We want to be the best passer in the league. And Michael couldn't do that. Michael was the best scorer, but I don't think he would have ever been the best passer. When you look at Anthony Davis – Joy and I from week one, we were like, God, it's just so natural. And it speaks well to both of them. I mean, because we all know Kyrie and LeBron had their issues. But what do you make of the LeBron-AD relationship and just how strong it feels?
No, it's extremely strong, and it's very natural because it's not basketball. I think, obviously, yes, when you have a guard and a big man, X and O's coaching, that's easy. That's the easy thing. I think what makes this relationship work is the mental aspect. I mean, LeBron is the best player in the world, and it's very rare that you see a top three caliber player like Anthony Davis coming without a top 300 ego. And I think that's why the relationship has grown so much. And also, you know, obviously having the same agent as Rich Paul, he told me when LeBron came back to Cleveland, like, you know, you guys are going to have success, but there's going to be a point in time, if you guys win a championship, there's going to be guys are going to develop an ego, and there's going to be a wedge that forms on our team. And with LA, he said, you know, that's not going to happen, because the way AD, his mindset and his circle and his people, obviously we all have the same agents, so we all have this more family bond relationship where we all just want the best thing. And it's almost like if you look at when they're celebrating, it's like 80s, like, you know what? This is for my big brother. I want to help be part of his legacy, and not so much, hey, I want to be the man and this is going to be my show. Because at the end of the day, when you play with LeBron, no matter if you score 60 one night or you score 100 points, you know, the headlines are going to be about LeBron. And if you can understand and say, you know what? How can I be the best asset for LeBron? And that will obviously help yourself and help me too. Help me get that big contract and me being a role player. So imagine All-Star. You'll get everything you want if you just buy into that process and understand. Let LeBron be LeBron, and you could be a great player in your own lane.
It'll be interesting. I mean, Rondo, I thought, proved me wrong. I thought he was kind of washed, and I thought he was unbelievable against Denver in spots. I thought he was unbelievable in that game Sunday. So I'm wrong on that. You know, that's Rondo. TV lights are on. Rondo's great. I thought the defense, these guys played so well. You know, so when you look at next year, Avery Bradley can come back. They are a pretty old team. I do think KCP, I'm in on KCP. I thought he played with guts.
He's
not afraid of any big shots, so I'm in on KCP. Kuzma drives me nuts. He loses confidence too much. Do you think they need, because everybody's going to be better next year, Dallas, Luka's going to be a year older, Clippers come back, chip on their shoulder, what little piece could they get in free agency, in your opinion, Tristan?
I think, Colin, you know, with basketball right now is the uncertainty. I think the salary cap is definitely going to play a big part of that. But in terms of constructing your team, if I'm Rob Pelinka and I'm the front office, I'm looking at, okay, we won this year, so every team is going to look at our roster and try to pick us apart. So for us, they got to look at who they think could be give them the toughest challenge next year. And obviously, I've been saying this for a long time. I still think those guys in the Bay Area are going to be coming ready to go. Obviously, you know, they got the number two pick, which is kind of similar to what happened in San Antonio that year when David Robinson was out. You go ahead and get Tim Duncan, and you come out with a bang. So I think the Lakers got to look at, you know, that Golden State Warrior team and say, okay, how can we form a team that can guard them, but also we got to be able to make shots. And if we look in the playoffs, you need guys that can guard multiple positions.
Yeah.
If you're a five man, you got to be able to guard a small forward. If you are a small forward, you got to be able to switch on to a big and be able to contain him or get a tough contest. So I think if I'm the Lakers, we got to continue improving our shooting, but have guys that can guard multiple positions, because that's why they started Markieff Morris in a couple of those games, because you got to switch it up. You need guys that can guard multiple positions. And obviously, you know, Dwight and JaVale, it was tough for them.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. Well, Tristan, may not talk to you for a while because the NBA season's done. We love having you as part of Fox. I love it when you come on. My friends are always like, oh, Tristan's got all this. Now, my wife always wants to know about your personal life, but I say, honey, that we can't talk about his personal life on the air. That's not the way the game works. But
Everything's great at home.
All right, that's all I want to hear, buddy. Continued success. Love having you as a teammate. Thanks, man.
No, appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I love being on. Thank you.
All right, Tristan. Now, his point is it was hard to bring a Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee in the finals. You need somebody that can defend multiple positions. And remember, Golden State's back next year. So you're going to have Steph, you're going to have Clay, you're going to have Draymond. They'll probably have the number one or they have the one or two pick. What Golden State? They have the number two pick. So then Golden State. And then you're going to have Dallas getting better. First of all, Denver is going to come back next year. Now they've gone deeper in the playoffs, so Denver's going to come back. And by the way, Denver's going to have home court advantage next year with no bubble. Altitude has always been – whenever Denver's good, we forget about this. Big advantage. Denver's good teams are always really good at home. Utah's going to get healthy. They got banged up. Remember Bogdanovich hurt his wrist.
That's just the West.
The Clippers are going to come with
Clippers.
A pitch. So it's
the – And Kevin Durant is back next year, guys.
Yeah. So it's and all those Miami young kids, they're all better. You know, it's I'll tell you, it's stacked. I had a hell of it. I love the NBA.
It was an amazing season.
I love the bubble.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. All right. Speak for yourselves around the corner today. NFL game tonight. I get Titans Bills. Keep your eye on Josh Allen, the next big star. RecTech, more than a grill, a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. RecTech with a Q.com, RecTech.com. You buy one of these puppies, 6-year warranty. You'll never buy another grill. RecTech with a Q.com.